Welcome back to Noob Rockstars. When Ultron Infinity tried to eat galaxies, or when the Celestials are about to pop planets like pimples, where is the TVA? They possess for all time always the ability to stop little Asgardians from playing with toys, but they turn a blind eye to multiverse-wide destruction? Did the Watcher, Arishem the Judge, and Kang have some kind of oath to stay off each other's lawns? What is this, a Florida suburb? Oh, that's right. Florida references are back because Papa Voss is back in town. And this is Rogue Theory, the show where we bitch the wildest theories for the nerdy titles that we love. I'm Eric Voss. Going rogue with me today is eternal friend of the show. It's Jessica Clemens.
I love a good fart noise.
It wasn't me. For podcast listeners, it was all four of us at the same time trying to sync up that brown note.
Ooh.
Also with us today is from his very own branch timeline, Tommy Bechtold. Oh, no. No, this is... People are unsubscribing by the Trump. Things have devolved so fast.
Great to be here, like back to Rogue
Theory. What a mess. And finally, feel free not to complete this rule of threes turkey. Kang of the Bit Hang Gang. I can't even say right, MT.
Eric, I don't understand your accent.
Yes.
You also need to introduce MT as the Watcher himself, because yes. He's exactly the like the himself. Watcher.
I got the bald head, I got the Watcher gear on, I'm ready to roll.
Ooh, I love that.
Hey, it's a big head, bald black man.
These eyes MT, are made for like... people watching.
Stop watching so many people, MT. It's making them uncomfortable. Well, speaking of the Watcher, with Ultron Infinity blazing a war path through the multiverse, and the Celestials now about to eradicate Earth with this emergence, the TVA appear nowhere in sight, suggesting that either all of this destruction is unfolding according to the sacred timeline, or that He Remains' death could have left the sacred timeline undefended and allowed all this chaos. I want us to talk about the relationship between Kang and the Celestials and the Watcher. Do, like, Celestials supersede timelines as we know them? Did Uatu have some kind of secret deal with Kang? I just want to know, why didn't the TVA ever stop any of the madness that happened in What If? What do you guys think?
I don't think this is true at all, what I'm about to say, but I always had like a dream that the TVA is in their own pocket universe where we can't see it. And so that's why they're off the radar of Uatu, kind of. And also, now that the TVA is ran by a different variant of Kang, I feel like that TVA doesn't really want to do anything that involves what the Watcher's really doing. I think it's more involved of like destroying, just becoming the next war. I don't think it has anything to really do with those two. But I do want to believe that the TVA is in a different universe of its own, which I know is like hard to try to make in the MCU, especially with the Watcher being able to see everything, but I just want him to miss that one little bit of world, and it's the TVA because they're so sneaky. That's what I want. That's what I want from the TVA's POV.
Yeah, I visualize the TVA kind of similar to what Jessica says. Like, if I could use this as an example, the turtles in Finding Nemo, the sea turtles that go into that stream, they live outside of that stream, and then they only enter the sacred timeline when they go into that stream of water, that current of water. Now, I think kind of this is basically just piggybacking on what Jessica said, but like I think what happened is, you know, this is kind of a fulfillment of the prophecy of what the one who remains Kang that got killed said, which was like, if you kill me, the other people who are going to come into the other Kangs that are going to come into power are going to be way, way worse and way, way less protective of the timeline and of the events of what's going on. You know, there'll be much more chaos and war and carnage. So all of these things that are happening are kind of just a payoff of that line, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think now what we're trying to conceive is this thing called pocket dimensions or pocket realities, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of What If, we had this big mirror dimension sphere that encased Doctor Strange Supreme. And then within that, he had a little Russian nesting doll of his own one with Killmonger and Zola tug of warring over the Infinity Stones. Mm-hmm. I think you might be onto something, Jessica, that the TVA could be contained in another kind of pocket dimension that is kind of like unwarpable through external means of like historical ruptures to any other timelines, but that's what made it so terrifying at the end of Loki, to see some kind of change happen from within, meaning that the person who did it must be someone who has the keys to the kingdom. But MT, you and I have kind of talked about this idea that maybe Uatu the Watcher and Kang the Conqueror could be old friends or old rivals. Do you think they're more likely to be friendly or like kind of from Lost, the Jacob and the Man in Black? I kind of could see both being the case.
Oh, man, it's really tough to know whether or not Uatu and, you know, He Who Remains or Kang would like each other, because He Who Remains is literally interfering with everything. He's like, which is very much against what Uatu's all about. But I think that they could have a relationship, and it would be very weird if they didn't have a relationship, considering that they are both watchers. They both monitor the timeline. But I think the reason why the TVA didn't show up in What If is because at the end of Loki, we do have, you know, this whole chaotic thing kick off. What I think is going to happen is that the TVA is going to stop being like that police force and more of like an army. I think that we're going to have multiple TVAs headed by multiple Kangs fighting each other. And so while they're doing that, then we have all this What If stuff, because like they're just doing their own thing, trying to like, you know, figure out who's going to take charge of everything. But then like we have Ultron and Zola and Killmonger doing their own thing, and because the multiverse is in chaos. But I don't know. But with the whole Uatu and Kang thing, it's hard to say if... I mean, I think that they definitely do know of each other, and they probably have 100% have had a conversation, but I don't know if they would ever work together. I don't... And it's tough to say...
I have a question. No, I have a question for you, MT. Is there any world where, because, and maybe not, but is there a world where Kang could, or Uatu could be a version of Kang? Only because you just mentioned how they both are watchers and overseers of the universe, and how they're now like in different timelines doing bigger parts of each other. Is there a world in which that could, because this Uatu came from a planet that made him kind of different, slightly different than the other watchers. Obviously he left and then was just helping the Fantastic Four in the comics. So what if this, is there a world in which that could be possible? That's my question.
Yeah, 100%. I think that, you know, with Kang's, like, well, I think that it's very unlikely, considering that the Watchers are their own race of people, their own race of aliens, and like, and I think that Marvel is trying to keep that separate from the whole Kang thing, just to keep, just to make people less confused. But I think that there is a possibility, because Kang, you know, works with time, he could potentially go to the beginnings of the Watcher civilization and be like, I'm Daddy Watcher now. I was the one who did it. It was my seed. So I think it's possible. I don't know. Don't know where the big heads come from.
That's my CG.
Well, the Watchers are using... The Watchers are... Sorry, this is how I think. I always, like, do some weird, like...
I
weird
thought you thing. Were just becoming...
No, Eve. I love it.
Wah, Jessica.
Wah! Wah! No, I was thinking...
Put Wah, Jessica in the Mario movie right now. Do it.
Please put me as Wario. I'd be so good. But... Oh, now you got me forgetting where I was.
Sorry.
But it sounds like what we're kind of agreeing upon is this idea that even though the TVA, they aren't really bound by the order, the causality of time, like they can fix problems that are going to happen in the future. Really, it's only now that in our other kind of dimension of time that things kind of broke at the end of Loki that enabled the fogged glass to be more transparent in What If, so that Doctor Strange Supreme and that Ultron Infinity can kind of look over their shoulders and see through it. And then it kind of makes the borders a bit thinner, makes the glass easier to break through. But I wanted to ask, like, about the Celestials, right? So, like, it seems like the Celestials might have some kind of brewing rivalry between themselves and the Watchers. But, like, are the Celestials bound by the TVA? Like, is there timelines with Celestials in them? Or are the Celestials just above different timelines?
I think your second part and what we're seeing, I think they're above, it would be the same ones above all, right? And they just don't really interfere with stuff that are so minor because they don't care about such minor things like the TVA, which is the TVA is minor to them compared to other things that are happening. Like what we're seeing in Eternals, that's such a big deal that it's like the world disappeared. Everyone disappeared. That's enough to cause such a huge ripple for them to notice. But something as small as the TVA probably isn't that big of a deal. So I think it's all of them overseeing the entire the entirety of everything, right?
You know, there's kind of checks and balances on all these different cosmic forces, and that the TVA really, because it's like Kang's little phony bureaucracy that it created, it's kind of like the backdoor CIA, you know, or NSA that just kind of spies on everything and keeps everything and just aligns everything to the way they're working. Whereas the Celestials are kind of the figurehead leaders of the multiverse or the universe, where they can kind of create galaxies. They can create the structural order of everything and decide when it gets destroyed. So I guess you could argue they could probably also destroy the pocket dimension that the TVA is contained in, but it's just Kang so damn slippery.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with that completely. I think they could tear everything up if they wanted to.
I think that, well, in terms of Celestials and universes, I think that the Watcher may be above the Celestials in terms of like observing, because I feel like every universe has their own like bunch of Celestials. Like they have their own Gamnon the Gatherer, Zirin, all the boys, but they are the custodians of the universe in their own way. Like I like to view the Celestials as custodians. They're like, all right, we're just maintaining life, la 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 do do do, and so. So I think that
was pretty mean. Is your custodian singing his stupid song
as he murders a million people?
Just commits genocide. Do, 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 just another network.
Everyone's screaming. They're just like,
But no, because of this, I think that the Celestials and the Watcher sort of just leave each other alone. Because the Watcher's just like, all right, these guys, they sort of, they're interfering with people and I don't like it. But like, they do have a cosmic purpose and like, they're multiversal constances. So I'm just going to let them do their thing, though I don't really like it.
Well, are we just saying that like none of these like neither Celestials nor Watchers are like apex predators in a reef? Like they're all just kind of like have their own jobs. Some are charged with keeping the bottom of the ocean floor and the coral free of like bacteria, while the others are charged with like, you know, making sure the water is filtered with not enough, there's enough plankton around to keep everything alive and fed. And none of them are great white sharks that are just killing machines that don't care and killing
the screen. I think that's it. That's why I was saying like checks and balances on each other, that they all kind of need each other to maintain the balance. But like what I want to see is like some big boardroom meeting where like a seat at the table is Kang, a seat at the table is the Watcher or some other Watcher, a seat at the table is one of the Celestials, and then every other kind of cosmic being is there, and they all kind of say like, all right, here is our oath: I will not interfere, but I will be watching everyone, but I won't interfere. Okay, here's my oath: I will clear planets that get too powerful and start to become like us. Okay,
a cosmic accord.
And then Kang's like, I'll keep an oath.
Yeah. I think the variants of Kang's are too wide. Oh yeah. Wait, pulls his own pants down?
Yeah. They're like, whoa,
Kang, get him out of the room. Wang.
Surprise! After they all leave, here comes the custodian. Well, they really made a mess of this boardroom. There's cliff bars everywhere.
Stop! I love this. I love the idea of this. I think Kang is just so goofy that I feel like Uatu and or just the Watchers in general and the Celestials make more sense working together and recognizing that they need each other. And then there's the Kang variants that are just honestly here to cause more destruction than helping than anything. Now that like the original Kang is gone, where I liked his chaotic energy of like, I'm doing this for good. We're doing this to protect them from myself. Now that we released all the other ones, I'm like, now you're just here to damage the entire world. You're making it worse. So it's just like those two need each other. This Kang, get him out of here. Get him out of here. We don't need him. He's pulling down his pants, showing his wang.
He's gone. Kang's wang.
to the point of the whole huge boardroom of like these cosmic entities, I really loved how in the comics when they did do that, when like you had your master orders and your Lord Chaoses and your one above alls just like convening with everybody and just be like, listen, shit's going down. Thanos is being a bad, bad boy. What are we going to do? So like basically stuff like that. So I really hope we see that in the MCU very soon.
Well, for that round, Jessica, you're going to get the point for this suggestion of a TVA in a pocket reality or a pocket dimension. I think that's the, for now at least, until the next MCU thing changes everything. Yeah. That's what I'm going to be clinging to for the next, three weeks until Eternals? Hey, just 3 weeks.
Wow. Are we all going to go see that for my birthday?
Close. Yeah, Tommy. Ooh.
Yeah.
Tommy the birthday boy.
Yes. Everybody's in this 4-hour movie for Tommy's birthday.
You know what comes out on my actual birthday? Clifford, the big red dog.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, my. And some could say that's the story. That's your origin story. Clifford, the big red dog.
That's right.
Or as I like to call it, Pacific Rim 3.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Yes.
Kaiju!
Take it down!
It's just a dog jumping off the buildings.
Why are you rooting at me? Don't root! Don't root!
Clifford doesn't talk. Okay. All right. Well, we got more that we got to talk about this big casting news from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. But first, you got to grab yourself some cool limited edition shirts inspired by Venom Let There Be Carnage. That's from our merch partners at Epic Hero Shop. They also have great shirts and other merch inspired by Shang-Chi, Suicide Squad, and other properties that we've been loving the last few months. Find those shirts and all the great merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com. But guys, there is nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help give you the confidence where it counts. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive a prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting. Waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew can help you. And we've got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ROGUE at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ROGUE to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the show. Also, if you dread looking at your credit card statements, you are not alone. The weight of debt can be crippling, but Upstart can help you on your path to financial freedom. Upstart is a fast and easy way to pay off your credit card debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over a million people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date. Rather than looking at your credit score alone, Upstart considers other factors like your income, income, your current employment, credit history to find you a smarter rate for your loan. And you can check out your rate without impacting your credit score in minutes for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can even receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/rogue. That's upstart.com/ROGUE. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit income, certain other information provided in your loan application. Upstart.com/rogue. All right. Guys, big news this week. Actor Will Poulter was cast as Adam Warlock for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. James Gunn confirmed it. The actor from Maze Runner, from Black Mirror, Midsommar, and Dopesick is going to be playing Adam Warlock, of course, the genetically perfect being from the early Fantastic Four comics who later was pivotal in the Infinity Gauntlet storyline in the comics where he wielded the gauntlet, played a major role in resolving that crisis. And in the MCU, we met him really in the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 post-credit scene with the defeated Aisha on the Sovereign plotting her revenge against the Guardians with Adam gestating in a golden cocoon. So what will be Adam and Aisha's plan against the Guardians in Volume 3? And could Adam appear actually earlier, like in Thor Love and Thunder next year, or in the Guardians holiday special next December? What do you guys think?
I really want to see Adam Warlock turn on Aisha. I want him to come out of that cocoon and then immediately be like, you created me for destruction and I don't want this. And then kill all of the Sovereign. And I think that'd be great. And then eventually, what I really want is him to somehow work, like, the story. This is a stretch. I want the storyline to be eventually them trying to turn, they meet him and they're like, oh, buddy, we were trying to outrun the same person. What a great idea. And he's like just destroying people in his way. He's just like, I don't know who you are. We're going to destroy you. But they're like, wait, you can work with us. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I like Adam Warlock, his story. He has so much that I don't want it only to be used in Guardians 3. I want to see him later in other franchises. So I want him I want him to stay in the movie working alongside the Guardians. This is rogue theory, so I'm just going rogue. I know it seems like it might be impossible, but I want them to the movie to be them trying to get him to be on their side and trying to teach him because he's brand new. He's learning. He's just going to destroy anything in his path. So I want them to be like, this isn't right. You're not supposed to destroy things. And they're just going to try to get him on their side. So I hope that's what happens. I hope he turns on Aisha. He just turns on everybody, but they bring him back and he starts fighting with the Guardians.
Okay. Now, I definitely think the Guardians team up is a very likely one, considering that we do know that, you know, this might be our last time with this iteration of the Guardians, and we could see the Guardians look differently. And because Adam Warlock was originally part of the Guardians lineup, at least at one point anyway, we could definitely see Adam Warlock play a bigger role, and like maybe we'll have a more beefed up like cosmic Guardians team like we've seen recently in comics with, you know, like Ghost Rider and all them. It was a huge stacked Guardians of the Galaxy team. But I think with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, I think that the High Evolutionary is going to play a huge role in this story, because I personally think that the High Evolutionary made Rocket Raccoon because of Yondu always referring to Rocket as a rat, and the High Evolutionary famously evolving rats to become humanoid animal creatures. And so I think that what's going to happen with Adam and Aisha, because of Adam Warlock's connection with the High Evolutionary, is that Adam is going to try to fight the Guardians, like, while they're, you know, dealing with High Evolutionary Rocket stuff. And then High Evolutionary is going to be like, wow, what a perfect child. Would you like to be my son? My boy? And then Adam's going to be like, well, my mom's kind of crazy, so yes, I will be your boy. And so, I don't know, I feel like there's going to be that High Evolutionary Adam Warlock teaming up, though he could use Adam Warlock to do some even worse stuff. So, like, we could just see Adam Warlock becoming a temporary threat. Just because he was born yesterday and he's easy to manipulate. So I think that I think we'll see Adam going from the Aisha team to a High Evolutionary team to possibly even a Guardian of the Galaxy. But that's just me.
That actor is really good at playing like confused really well. So I think there's a reason he was casted. So I think it's that oblivious face that he has, not that he permanently has, but he's good at playing. He always plays a character that's like, I'm confused. I'll go which way? And I think that plays into a lot of what MT is saying. I agree.
Like, I would love if, like, Xylak or one of the sovereign people were like, hey, Adam, so, like, you got your paycheck? And Adam's like, we're getting paid.
Yeah, we're getting paid. You guys are getting paid.
Just like the meme. You guys are getting paid.
Oh, that poor boy. That poor boy will never live that down. Yeah. He's literally a meme
forever. He is a meme forever that will pull
through. I think that there's going to be a glimpse of him earlier than Guardians 3. I could see it being, I could see us possibly seeing his kind of like training. A glimpse in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, like where we maybe we glimpse in to him kind of learning, because he is supposed to be perfect, so there's not like the learning curve is going to be quick for him, right? Like he's going to emerge from that cocoon.
Sounds like you're about to say catacomb.
I wonder. I mean, like, to me, the thing that makes sense given, like, his kind of arcs in various comic books is that he'll start off as the antagonist in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and then they'll all realize that they ultimately have similar goals or want the same thing against a bigger villain, right? Like, that's kind of seems to be what that's leading towards. But I don't know, like, to cast that actor, it would make sense to me to introduce him in something earlier so that we don't go in and have to like spend 20 minutes of Guardians of the Galaxy 3 watching him like, you know, do a Rocky training montage of like, now I'm learning how to eat. Now I'm learning how to walk. Now I'm learning how to drive a car.
That's true. And it's now been
I'm
a minute.
Now I'm learning how to sweep. Now I'm learning how to sing.
Oh, it's coming dum, right back. Da, dum, da, coming da. Right back. He's the janitor. He's the janitor.
And the whole time I was the janitor.
What a waste of time.
Janitor warlock. Wiping the ceilings.
He's like, Kang, are you finishing this drink? I'm going to throw it away.
So I know that's not the sexiest answer, but I think the most like where I see him getting involved, I would love. I mean, I guess like to me, the opportunity that titling a movie Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness presents is like an opportunity to open windows into so many different Marvel, sure. Like almost like a when broadcast networks would have like a night before their shows premiered where they would like show you like 5 minutes from every new show that was going to be on NBC. Like in the 90s, they would be like, here's our fall preview night. Like I see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness being like, here's our MCU preview night. Like we're going to have like shocking moments where you're like, you know, almost more genuine or like, the moment in Deadpool where he opens the door and there's at the X-Mansion and it's like they're all just there. I see more serious versions of that happening in that movie, in my opinion.
I feel like there was, we haven't seen him in such a long time. And also to give credit to like the comic books, he was in the cocoon for so long and he was giving off this like energy that people could feel. So it feels like we have to have some better introduction than what we saw in the post-credit scene of the second Guardians, which came out so long ago, that I do agree with Tommy where it's like he has to be featured somewhere else. It would be kind of shitty to be like, oh, remember this? Like out of nowhere. Yeah. It's like
I think the cocoon's gonna be connected a lot to the character. Cause to me, when I think of Adam Warlock, I think of that freaking cocoon. And it's such a goofy, weird thing he has to recharge his power. Yeah. Like, I imagine if I'm James Gunn and I'm putting Adam Warlock in my movie, like this guy, what if he just has like the worst battery lifespan. Yeah. And like every 14 minutes, he has to rebuild that cocoon back up. He's like, hold on. I'm like, I need my 18 hours of rest. Then he's like, okay, here we go.
And you know James Gunn would play with that so quick. They'd be like, wait, why can't you help anymore? I got to go back to sleep. What do you mean you got to go back to sleep?
I got to build my cocoon. He's like Flower and Bambi. He's just always napping.
Yeah. I want him to emerge from the cocoon though. Like this, like the same way people come out of their cocoons in The Matrix, and how you go down those like really intense water slides.
So jarring.
And he's like this, and then the bottom drops out, and he just goes, down like a flume. And then, so he's always like, he always comes skidding in like this.
Ew, gets my up God.
And like has to pull his wedgie out. And,
but no, to you, I know you brought up whether or not we could see Adam Warlock in the holiday special. I think it's very likely that we could see Adam Warlock in the holiday special because historically he's always been like the sort of like, you know, savior-esque Jesus figure. Like when he was like made, he was specifically made as like a Jesus parallel, which is very weird. Uh-huh. So I could definitely see them being like, oh, here's the reason for the season, Adam Warlock.
The reason for the season.
It's so you're saying like Warlock. A sovereign nativity play for how Adam Warlock was born. It's Advent.
Exactly. Oh my God, I would love that.
There's a woman trying to check into a hotel. They're like, there's no room here. But there is room in the manger next door. And all the
different, get all the like, Asgardian kids to just
Groot comes play walking that. In. Groot's playing the little drummer boy on his trunk. He's just bump.
Oh, God, I hope that is what the holiday
special is. Adam Warlock, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
I love this conversation. MT, you're going to get a point for bringing in the High Evolutionary. Really? I think that I think you're right. I think there is going to be a connection there in Volume 3. Yeah. Tommy, you're going to get a point for that great custodian callback. Adam Warlock is a custodian. But also your drummer boy song. Just now. So yes. Tommy's in the beautiful. Lead, guys.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Tommy, big comeback.
If I knew improv was a big part of this and callbacks were so important.
The rules change every week. Well, we have time for one rogue question, and it's a big one, guys, because ooh. Timothée Chalamet revealed in an interview this week the secret to his success, quote, one of my heroes, I can't say who or he'd kick my ass, but he put his arm around me the first night we met and he gave me some advice. No hard drugs and no superhero movies. Swish on that impression.
Yo, yeah. You nailed the emotion.
That was right.
Yeah, you sound like Timothée Chalamet and a half. Yes. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Quick aside on Timothée Chalamet. I love that they put him in movies like Dune when like he's... like, they have that joke in Dune where Duncan Idaho is like, you put on any muscle? No, you didn't. Like, there's no way he would exist in any climate outside of a drama club high school room.
Yeah. Right? Also, how is Dune not basically a superhero movie?
It is. He has superpowers.
Are you kidding me? You can see the future. What an arrogant statement. And also, the only reason I have a career is because of hard drugs and superhero movies. Yeah, let me just say.
I'm just Josh. I mean, look, Timothée Chalamet, I think he's a good actor. I like him in his movies.
I hated that interview.
I'm glad he exists. Yeah. So, yeah, at this point, some actor told him no hard drugs, no superhero movies. Wow. Who do we think this was? And what horrible thing happened to them on the set of a superhero movie that made them turn to hard drugs?
I think it's pretty obvious who it was. And it's our man, Seth Rogen.
After he did Green Hornet. I was about to say, son of a bitch for Green Hornet.
He did the Green Hornet, and he was like, Timothy, weed, first of all, it's better for Seth Rogen's weed business if people don't do hard drugs.
That's
if they just smoke weed. Uh-huh. And he had a bad experience with a superhero movie. But I also think like the better piece of advice would have been no hard drugs, no superhero movies, and no interviews until you're 35 and have had life experience. Because every interview with a 25-year-old actor that like comes out in GQ or Vanity Fair just makes them sound like they have never had any sort of life adversity at all. Like, they're just like, well, you know, probably the hardest thing for me was not getting to see my friends during the summer when we would go to our French villa for 8 weeks.
Right.
So I would lose touch with all my friends in America. And you have to understand, when you're making new friends who speak your second language, which I am also fluent in, you know, half the time we're on a boat and the water is noisy, so you can't really hear them. And the other time, we're up in my dad's helicopter. Anyway, I'm allergic to caviar because I ate it so much as a kid. Like, they all sound like out-of-touch assholes. And I like Timothée Chalamet as well. And I think he's going to be a great Wonka. And I hope he loses his virginity to an Oompa Loompa in that movie.
Oh, wow.
Someone,
the actor and the character. To be clear, I want Timothée Chalamet to lose his, what I'm sure is very intact virginity, to an actor playing Oompa Loompa.
Intact virginity. Intact virginity.
I mean,
That's all I got to say about that.
Damn.
Wow.
That's it, though?
That's it? You don't have that,
Tommy? Yeah. Kind of quiet today, Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy's been laying it real low today.
But I think Tommy's right. We do not need to hear any interviews from anybody before they turn 35. Just
yes.
Not enough life experience. Okay. Who do we think that other thoughts? Who this was?
I think it's exactly what Tommy said. But as a second guess, I think it could be Will Smith, because like you know, Will Smith obviously is a very clean man, and like
how
he
is
would
that
never
his hero? Do...
I feel like going. He would just generally just be like, hey kids, stay away from drugs, and also stay away from superhero movies because I did Hancock. And that didn't really work out for me. Even though
and
I like the
Squad.
Idea of he did Suicide Squad as well, which didn't work out for him. So he's just feeling pretty not great about superhero movies, probably.
Yeah, that's a great guess, actually. I think that one actually makes a lot of sense.
I think that was the funniest one. I don't know why it is. Why would he go to the Fresh Prince and be like, any advice you got?
I mean, it's Will Smith, bro. He's like super successful. I knew it.
See, I would listen to Will Smith. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Anything the Fresh Prince tells me to do, I will do it.
If it was early 2000s, of course I would, but it's not anymore.
any era of Will Smith, I'm going to listen to.
If Will Smith put his arm around me, he'd be like, wait a second, I got a little cocaine on my hand. Oh my I was about God. To tell you not to do drugs or drugs.
And he's like, do all the hard drugs!
Oh my God. I think...
Yo, Holmes to Bel-Air!
I think Tommy's was great. I think MT's was great. I think mine's the most realistic. I think it was Ben Affleck.
Oh,
I think it's Ben Affleck because that man had a really hard life. Not anymore. J-Lo turned it around. But Timothy Chalamet. Timothy Chameleonaire. Timothy Chalice. Timothy Chalice doesn't have a J-Lo. So, Chalamet the God. So I don't think he has. I don't think he has a J-Lo. So I think Ben Affleck absolutely smoking a cigarette was like, look here, stay away from superhero movies. Also, don't do drugs. Don't get a giant phoenix tattooed on your back like I did. I thought it was a good idea. The artist was really cool. I thought it was a one-night thing, and it never went away. Do it. And I feel like that was a good one, because unlike Will Smith, but I guess kind of like Will Smith, very prominent person, you probably would ask him for, like, tips.
Right.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I would ask Ben Affleck for anything.
To be perfectly honest, when Eric first asked that question, I was like, that's got to be Ben Affleck. Like, just logically, I was like, that has to be Ben Affleck. Because also seems like the type of person that would give you that advice while explaining how awesome it was that he did the opposite. Be like, listen, I've done a lot of hard drugs in my life and had a lot of fun. Right.
Just pulled him over at like the Emmys and was like, let me talk to you real quick. And it's like oh, Ben Affleck?
Like your older cousin at a wedding when you're like 16 and he's like, let me give you a little 100%. Advice.
Yeah.
Stick to the beer. Don't go for the hard stuff. If anyone ever offers you any powders at a party, you say no. I've had the greatest nights of my life, but I'll tell you what, it's not worth it.
That's
because you get laid so much. And you have so much fun, and you end up on crazy adventures, but it's not worth it. Because you'll say yes to things you never thought were imaginable. It'll take you to the greatest heights, but it's not worth it. It's just
I mean, that's why
it.
He told him that, is he wanted it all for himself.
That's
He's like, I'm coming back to play Batman. I don't want this little hot shit taking my
Ben Affleck, playing the origin story to Willy Wonka. He's like, God. He wanted that
Wonka. Get yourself a chocolate hat, and you be Wonka. And he says, just once, I want to knock on that door and see that you're not there, that you jumped in the car and you drove out. And he said no to all of this. Just once.
But here's the funny thing. I actually do know who it was. It was Jacob Tremblay that told him that.
Oh.
Yeah. It was little Jacob Tremblay.
Too much coke.
He's like, let me give you a little advice, Timothy. Let me give you a little bit of advice.
Let me tell you, Timothy. He's like, Jacob?
Well, I think Jess has got to get the point for Ben Affleck. I think that seems most likely. We covered a lot of reasons why, which makes, I guess, her and Tommy co-winners of this week of Rogue Theory. But thank you to all of our guests this week on Rogue Theory, Jessica Clements, Tommy Bechtold, and MT. You can support our channel by checking out all of our great merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com, including that awesome Venom-inspired shirt. Follow me at EA Voss, follow New Rockstars on all social platforms, and be sure to subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. See you next time, boners.
Bye.
Bye.
Nice.
Thank you.